Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good morning, everybody. this morning, we in the first service, things got a little bit off the notes. And I don't know how to do that again, so... I'm just going to try and be led by the Spirit, and I want to thank my team in the back who I think I've made it a nightmare for them. We went kind of like all over the place, but the Lord really moved powerfully in the first service, and so I believe that you're in for something this morning. I just want to say, and this is really important, thank you. just stay and listen to everything. Is that okay? You know, the problem is that when we hear something that we haven't heard before, sometimes we have this, it's like one of those, you know, your body has certain things that reacts, like if you hit something here, you know, like your knee kind of like kicks, you know. And sometimes when you say tongues in church, people shoot out the door. You know, it's kind of like a chain reaction. So the word tongues is coming up this morning at some point. I just thought I'd put a disclaimer out there, you know. And I want you to know... If you leave now, we'll know why, okay? So I just did it like right from the beginning so that you can just be prepared. I'm going to show you some things from the Word this morning that is so important because we've been doing this series on the Holy Spirit. And as much as I tried so desperately between the last couple of days as I've been preparing for today, I tried so desperately to try and avoid what I'm going to be sharing with you. And so I prepared a whole different sermon, and then in the first service, God just said, no, you have to share that. Now, if you were here yesterday morning at the e-course, this will just like the continuation, okay? If you were not at the e-course, we forgive you, but please, please come to the next one, because there are going to be missing parts. And you know, the most powerful thing is when you have revelation. When you have an understanding of God's word, it's like it all fits together and it just makes sense, you know? So, you know, yesterday morning, we really broke it down. Over the last few weeks, I've been talking to you about the Holy Spirit. In the first series, we are part number four right now. In the first part, we spoke about how the Holy Spirit is our paraclete. He's our helper. He's the one who comforts us. He's our teacher. He's our best friend, really. In the second part, I spoke to you about how the Holy Spirit begins to change us. He begins to transform us. You know, the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law. You know, so if you are led by the Spirit, if you are able to hear Him, if you are able to be led by Him, you are not under the law and you are able to walk in the Spirit. The Bible also says those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. You know, there's something very powerful about that if you study Scripture, that phrase, sons of God, is used in Old Testament Scripture to describe angelic beings. Did you know that? It's there to describe created beings that God made that are powerful beings. And God is saying to you, you are a son of God. Now, He's not calling you an angel. You're definitely not an angel, okay? But He's saying that when you begin to walk in the Spirit, you become a son of God. You know, and it's a very powerful thing. Unfortunately, the church today has become very unspiritual. We've become very, very carnal. And so last week, I shared with you how the Holy Spirit not only comes in you to transform you, to begin to change you, but then He also comes upon you. And I showed you how throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came on certain individuals. He came upon prophets, priests, and kings. And we see, like the Bible says it, when the Spirit came on David, when he was anointed as king, it actually said, it came upon him and never left him. And used him to do incredible exploits for the king. We also see Gideon, the Bible describes how the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. How the Spirit of the Lord came upon prophets and priests to do the will of God. So the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, but He also comes upon you. I want you to know that Jesus was used very much in the same way. Yes, He was the Son of God, but there was a pattern that God wanted to show us. 100% God, but also 100% man. So while He was on earth, Jesus, at his water baptism, goes under the water, comes up out of the water, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him. So the Spirit came upon him, and his ministry began. Like the Old Testament saints were used, Jesus was used when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went out through all the regions of Judea, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and signs and wonders followed him everywhere he went. Then when Jesus died and rose again, the first thing he did was appear to his disciples, and the Bible says that he blew on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. He had to fulfill what was spoken. And the Spirit of God now lives inside every one of us, because that was the day that he came inside believers for the first time. But then Jesus said to his disciples, just before he went up, the last thing he said is, you have to wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. In another book, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what he says to his disciples. So his disciples also had to have an experience other than when they got saved, which was the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And we see that after the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 2, when everything breaks out, the Spirit of God breaks out. And the Bible says that tongues of fire sat upon, everybody say upon, each of them. You don't have to say that, but thank you anyway. You're so obedient. I appreciate you guys. But it's my fault. I should have told you. I'm just making it light now because it's going to get very serious in about 5 minutes. And so we see this expression. And Peter gets up and he's no longer the same anymore, because something's happened to him. The Spirit of God came upon him. And he goes out and begins to do the work of the ministry. Now, what happened is, yesterday in the e-course, I explained what happened from there. And so you need to know what happened from there. But basically what happened is the same thing that happened to them happened to everybody that God ministered to thereafter. And a great example of it is Philip. Philip the evangelist goes to Samaria. The first time the gospel leaves Jerusalem and that Judean area, goes out to Samaria. Philip arrives in Samaria, he begins to preach the gospel. People get saved. Demons scream out of people. That's what the Bible says. People get healed. It's awesome. Revival. And like every other evangelist, Philip packs up and leaves town. And word of what took place in Jerusalem gets to what in Samaria gets to Jerusalem. And when word arrives at Jerusalem, they send Peter and John to go and see what happened. And when they arrive, they see that people have gotten saved and people have gotten touched. And the Bible says that they made sure that they laid their hands on them so that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. We see in Cornelius' house, the first time the Holy Spirit is given to the Gentiles. The Bible says Peter was preaching. And while he was preaching, the Spirit came upon them. And they began to speak in tongues. And there's a pattern in Scripture over and over where the Spirit of God comes upon people. And many, many times, in fact, most in the book of Acts, we see tongues as a form of evidence. Now remember, when Jesus said to his disciples what would happen when the Holy Spirit came upon them, he did not say, you will receive tongues. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the true evidence is the power of the Holy Spirit. But we do see a pattern in Scripture of how when they laid hands, tongues would come upon individuals, tongues and prophecy. And now in church today, this is something we don't talk about because it's become bad somehow. So today I want to explain to you the language of the Spirit. I want to explain to you, once the Holy Spirit is in you, now he's come upon you, how many of you in this room say, okay, the Holy Spirit's come upon me, why? And how many of you in this room have said, what's the purpose? What's my purpose? What does God want to do with me, with my life? You see, the first thing we need to do is we need to figure out what God's purpose is, period. What is God's plan right now on the earth? Where are we heading? and what's the direction he's going. Then we'll find out what our role is in that. That's the purpose of God. And the truth is no matter what you do on the earth, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a car washer, whatever, the fact is that that's not your purpose. That's what you're doing. That's a function. But God has a purpose for you. And I want you to know that the same reason the Spirit came upon Jesus is the same reason he came upon you. And the purpose is to expand the kingdom. You don't need to be a pastor to do that. A Christian is supposed to be filled with the Spirit. A Christian is supposed to go out and do the work of the ministry and be a witness of Jesus. That's what the disciples did. Paul wasn't a disciple, but he most certainly was a witness, a great witness. Now, it's going well, okay? Compared to the first, it's going well. It's going okay. All right. Let's try and get into some form of notes. When this happens, I become very afraid. You see, the truth is the Holy Spirit knows everything about you. Because he knows that God has a plan for you. Now he's come into your life and now he wants to use you. Now watch this. Let's go to Romans 8 verse 26. Romans 8 verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? According to the will of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who makes intercession for us, for the saints, for us, according to the will of God. So he's praying for you on the inside of you for everything God has planned for your life. For the will of God to be fulfilled in your life. But understand something, that you only form part of his divine plan. So it's always his will above even our own lives. But our lives become a part of his life, of his plan, of his story. It's really God's story. Now, the Bible says, likewise, in verse number 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. And the word helps, there's a very powerful word. It's sun antilambanoma. That's right, I said it. Sun antilambanoma. And it's really a compound Greek word. It's three Greek words in one. The word sin there basically means to connect or to bring together, teamwork. It's used in the Bible and also in 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 1, where it says, we then as workers together with him also plead for you. And that word workers together is the same word, root word, synergeo there, which speaks of sin, which tells us that when the Bible is saying helps, the first part of that word is there's a coming together. There's a coming together. There's a coming together with the Holy Spirit. The second part of the word is the Greek word anti. How many of you know what anti means? Sun, anti, which means against. So there's a coming together against something. There's a coming together against something. And the last part is lambano, which means to take or to receive. So in other words, the Holy Spirit comes when we are struggling and gives us strength to get the breakthrough in every area. Basically, what he does is he comes with us against everything that is standing in the way of God's purpose and plan. And he moves it out the way. He intercedes for you. The problem is this, is that the majority of us, in fact, all of us, struggle to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Yes, he's praying for us. But how many of you know there's a message that he wants to get through to you so you know which direction to go in? There are things about you. There are things about your life that are absolutely incredible that you haven't discovered yet. Is that okay? Now we need to figure this out. We need to find out. Let's quickly read verse 27, Romans 8, 27. Now he who searches the heart knows that the mind of what the mind of the Spirit is. He who searches the heart, that's God, knows what the mind of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit knows the plans of God for your life. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, that are called according to his purpose. You see, there is a purpose. There is a reason why you are alive, and you need to find out what it is. How many of you want to know what God's plan is? Well, thank you so much, Pastor Alex. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit has now come upon me. What does he want me to do? I want to know what he wants me to do. And there is a way for you to know what he wants you to do. So let's do this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 2. I'll read it down here with you. Now hold on to your chair, everybody. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Let's stop. You see, when you read God's word, you must make sure you read it clearly. When I speak in tongues, who do I speak to? Am I speaking to anybody else? How do we know that? Because the second part of the scripture says, for when I speak in a tongue, I do not speak to men, but to God. So I want you to first understand that when I'm speaking in tongues, it is not for you. I am speaking to God. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you really believe I'm going to be speaking in Japanese? Because the Bible says no one understands. Not the Chinese, not the Japanese, not the Portuguese. No one understands. When I speak in a tongue, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, and this is so important, however, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. What is that? A mystery is a hidden thing. It is something that you don't know about yourself. But how many of you would like to find out what the mystery, what the secret, what the purpose of God is for your life? So when you pray in tongues, you do not speak to men, you speak to God. Go to the next verse. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now, you really need to come to the course. I can't do this. I want to so badly break it down for you. But what he's basically saying here is he's saying, listen, tongues is actually for you. Because what happens is you speak mysteries. And we're going to talk about those mysteries in just a moment. Then he says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. That brings some benefit to the church. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm only benefiting myself. I'm speaking mysteries. Next verse. He who speaks in a tongue, watch, edifies himself. So when I'm praying tongues, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to God. However, I speak mysteries. We need to find out more about that. That's important. Okay? He who speaks in a tongue is doing what? Edifying himself. Now you will discover from 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 that Paul is correcting the church in Corinth. He is trying to explain to them that you have gotten it a little bit wrong. You're a little out of order. You are very Pentecostal. Like extreme, okay? You've gone really, really out there. Please, I'm not against the Pentecostals. We are similar to that in sometimes. Okay, let me stop. I'm going to get into trouble. Okay. I didn't know that. That's okay. It's all right. Okay. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. You see, that's why in a church service, Paul is saying, listen, whatever you do, do it so that people can benefit from it. Do it so that people can grow, so that they can benefit from it. Don't just speak in tongues because you think it's great. No one can understand. No one can benefit. But when you prophesy, there's edification. And then he goes on and he speaks about revelation and teaching and all different kinds of things to benefit the church. Go to the next verse real quick. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Oh man, I want to teach this all to you. You see, you're naughty. You don't come to the e-course, and now I'm bringing the e-course to church. Go to verse 14 for me. Watch this. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. He's already told us that no one understands. People come to me all the time and they say, well, Pastor Alex, when I pray in tongues, I don't understand anything. I know. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. You are not going to understand anything. Your understanding is going to be unfruitful. But when you pray in tongues, what is busy happening? Your spirit is praying. That's why the Bible says in the book of Jude, it says, build yourself up. How? Praying in the spirit. When I pray in tongues, I do not speak to man, I speak to God. However, I speak mysteries. When I pray in tongues, there's no benefit to you, but I am edifying myself. So something's happening when I'm praying in tongues. When I pray in the Spirit, how do you pray in the Spirit? Now, I'm not saying that it's the exclusive way, but there's no question that it's one way, because the Bible says so. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm saying. He goes on to say, when I pray in tongues, I speak to the air. But remember, I'm speaking mysteries, right? So now let's go a little deeper. You see, the Holy Spirit speaks a language. We need to hear that language. The Holy Spirit, when he intercedes, he is making, the Bible says, he's making intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Holy Spirit is making groanings which cannot be uttered, is that tongues? Don't answer me. Let me say this. There is a school of thought that says yes. There is a school of thought that says no. But what I do know is that when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. So the Holy Spirit prays. He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And actually, groanings there actually also speaks of words that cannot be uttered. Okay? Now, it's not important to me whether it's tongues or not that he's doing. He's on the inside of me praying the purposes and plans for my life, praying the will of God for my life. What's important is that I need to be able to get to the place where my spirit is able to hear from him. Are you with me? So how do I get to a place where I can begin to hear my spirit, begin to hear what God is saying to my inner man? So the Bible says that one of the ways that you find out what those mysteries is by praying in tongues, right? Do you all saw that, right? That was there in the Bible. And this is not any weird version. It's a good one. It's the New King James. But if you go to the others, it's all very much the same. Now, we need to go a little deeper. You see, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Let's go there real quick. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. You see, your spirit is the part in you that is the lamp of God. That's the part that God will connect to. That's the part that God wants to speak to. Can you say amen? Our brains, our minds really, really struggle to hear from God. Our brains, our minds get in the way because God wants to speak to us, but our minds just don't, they just don't understand. Now, it's so weird. I'm looking for the scripture that I want to take you to, but it's not in my notes. So can you please go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 1. Now remember, we are trying to figure out why God wants to empower us. We are trying to figure out how we can hear the mysteries of God and why is the mysteries important. Are you with me? Now watch this. And I, brethren, this is Paul, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Next verse. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Next verse. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. Next verse. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. So my preaching and teaching was not with the wisdom of men or human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. In other words, when I came to you and I demonstrated God's Spirit and I demonstrated God's power. Next verse. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's why your witness must demonstrate God's power. Because Paul said that's what's important. No power, no witness of the resurrection. It's like people are not persuaded. Next verse. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Next verse. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Stop. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The Bible told us not too long ago in 1 Corinthians 14 that when we speak in tongues, our spirit prays, right? But no one understands us. We speak to God, but no one understands us. But we speak mysteries. And here he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So how do we speak that mystery? One way, without a shadow of a doubt, is we speak that mystery by praying in the Spirit, by praying in tongues. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Watch this. The wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. What? In other words, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. This is something you don't know about. This is something that has been hidden. This is something that God has for you that you cannot discover unless you are able to speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. How do I do that? By praying in other tongues is one way for sure. Can't deny it. It's in the Bible. Watch. Which God ordained before ages for what? For our glory. The Bible told us in 1 Corinthians 14 that we pray in tongues to do what? To edify who? To edify yourself. In other words, there's a building up. Jude says, praying in the Spirit. Build yourself up, praying in the Spirit. Edify yourself. Learn what the Holy Spirit is busy saying. Are you with me? There is a mystery. There is a secret. There is something that God wants to reveal it to you. And the only way you will discover it is if you can hear the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit does not speak like you and I speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks a spiritual language. I'm not saying He speaks tongues. Relax. You're supposed to speak tongues, not Him. He speaks in a different language that your mind does not understand. Watch this now. Go to the next verse. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. They didn't know that there would become a wisdom that you would be able to tap into. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Next verse. But as it is written, watch, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Your eyes can't get it. Your ears can't get it. It hasn't entered into your heart yet. It hasn't become a reality to you yet. But it has to. You need to get to the place where it does become a reality. Next verse. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. He reveals them to us through His Spirit. Now, let me show you something really quick. We need to go somewhere else in the Bible. Let's quickly go to Joel, the book of Joel. Joel 2 verse 28. Now watch this. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. What did Peter do on the day of Pentecost? On the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and he quoted that verse. He said, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy dreams and visions. I will pour out my spirit, listen, upon all flesh. And you will be able to see things. You will be able to hear things that you were not able to hear before. Because eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now listen, there is a language of the Spirit that we need to hear that we can't with these eyes, with these ears, with this thing between our skull. It's a problem all the time. Be honest. Me, sometimes, you, all the time. I'm just joking. Or maybe not. Okay, let's move on. So why should we pray? Why should we pray in tongues? There's no point. Oh, there's a big point. There's a big point. You see, what happens is this. Let me explain to you. Now, remember what I said. This is a part. You must understand, when it comes to spiritual things, there is a lot. Worship brings you close to God. When you get intimate with God, he begins to speak to you. But if you want to understand the Spirit, you must speak his language. Now, that doesn't mean you have to speak in tongues to only hear him. There are other ways you can hear him. But there's no question that when you pray in tongues, you are speaking mysteries. Are you with me? No one understands. In fact, your understanding is unfruitful. So how do we hear? What are we waiting for? We are waiting to see something. We are waiting to be told something from the Spirit. Listen to me, in the Spirit, that's how you hear. Now, I was very fortunate that when I grew up in church, after I really encountered the Lord, that this was something I was taught from a very young age. But as the years went on, because it was such a challenged subject, the intensity that God took me into to study this and have full revelation of it was so intense. I mean, I can tell you, like, how much time do you have? You know what I mean? So this is so alive in me, and over the years, I've seen how this works. So I'm going to give you two examples. One day, I was praying before I went to a youth service. I was in my room. Actually, I was in the living room. I don't know where Naomi and the kids were. I was in the living room in Jensen Beach. And I was walking up and down. I had my worship music on. And I was praying in tongues for hours, about 2 hours. And after about 2 hours of praying in tongues, now understand something. How many of you in this room will be honest with me and tell me that when you pray, doesn't matter how you do it, your mind wanders. And you think about fishing and your favorite TV show, and you know, it's what happens. And you try hard to focus. And you're like, Lord, I want to focus, and I'm focus, and you try, and but you struggle. And even when you are very disciplined and you are able to sort of, you know, get yourself focused, even then, oftentimes while you're praying, you just kind of like drift away. Right? Now, when you're praying in the Spirit for long, when you're praying in tongues for long, it's like that too. Your mind is going. The worship music helps to keep you focused, and you're focusing, and you're praying, and you're carrying on. And I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying. And all of a sudden, I stop. But I stop speaking, but it doesn't stop coming out of me. It's like, the only way I can explain it was like, my spirit didn't stop praying, even though my mouth stopped. And it was like coming out. And I'm thinking to myself, what on earth is going on? But I know I'm praying in the Spirit, but I'm not praying in tongues anymore. I'm just praying and it's pouring out of me. That's why when people want to get tongues, when they get prayed for tongues, they're so worried about making a sound. I can't do it. It doesn't matter what you do. The sound means nothing. It's your spirit that's praying. It doesn't matter how you sound. In fact, I don't even care if you don't make a sound. Just let it come out of you. Let it pour out of you. That's what happens. And so I'm standing there, and it's pouring out and pouring out. And all of a sudden, it's like the heavens open, and I have a vision. And all of a sudden, I see what's going to happen that night in youth. Literally, it played out before me like in the most profound way. I literally saw what would take place, and God told me why it would take place. But it was a vision. It wasn't like, you're going to go tonight to youth, and when you get to youth, there will be a person that will come to you, and this is her name, and this is what happened to her. That's not what happened. I literally saw it. I had a vision. I saw it busy happening. And that night we went to youth, and exactly what I saw happened. And the most incredible thing took place. I don't have the time to share it with you. I know. Next time. Come to the e-course. Okay? And then, you know, it was incredible. Now, I'm giving you one example of many of how when I'm praying the mysteries, when I'm praying these things, God begins to show me things. Do you know that the reason why I came to Vero Beach was because the same thing happened to me in my room in Jensen Beach one morning? I'm praying in tongues, and I don't even know how many hours it was that morning. Now, let me tell you something. Don't think that I'm so spiritual that I pray in tongues for hours every day. I don't. I would love to tell you that I do, but I would be lying. Sometimes I pray for hours, and sometimes I don't. I know that it would probably be better if I did, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes I spend more time in the Word. Sometimes I just spend more time worshiping. That's how it is. My relationship with God is very real. But when God does kick me into that intercession like that, it's really powerful. So I'm praying one morning, and I'm in my room, and again, you know, I can't sit down when I pray. It's just the way I am. Very hard for me. So I'm pacing up and down in the bedroom. And all of a sudden, I have a vision. Again, I see a tent at a park. And I know it's Vero Beach. I know this is Vero Beach because I've seen it before. Now, I didn't know Vero well at all, but I saw this tent, and I knew that this tent was like a church. And there were thousands of people being ministered to in this church, and God showed me that. He didn't say anything to me, but I knew what He wanted me to do. I knew. He didn't say, Alex, you will go to Vero Beach and plant a church. It didn't happen like that. I wish it did. I saw the vision, and I knew God was saying, go to Vero Beach and plant a church. I knew it. And so I have this vision. Come out of my room, tell my wife. She thinks I'm completely crazy. She wants to know how the vision happened and all this stuff. Anyway, God eventually got a hold of her, okay? Just before we found the property, I went to a conference here in Vero. No, it was in Orlando. And I was at the conference, and this man was waiting for me at the bathroom. I came out the bathroom, and he was standing there. He came up to me, and he actually said to me, put your hand out. I remember. I put my hand out. And he went like this. He said that God has prepared a place for you. He said the keys are already in your hand, and everything has been done. And I was like, that's really great, brother. I can't find a church building anywhere, okay? So I'm thinking now, this is interesting. I'll kind of put it on the shelf, you know. That Monday, we start looking for properties to buy or to rent in Vero Beach for us to plant a church. We had like 12 people. So what I did was I tried to find a place where there was property to put a tent, because that's what I saw in my vision, right? And there was only one realtor that had a property listed that sounded like the description that matched what I was seeing. And I called him and said to him, do you have a property like this? He says, yes, I do. He said, what are you trying to do? I said, trying to put a church there, put a tent. He said, this is not going to work. He said, but I've just received a listing. And this listing sounds like it might work for you. So I wanted more detail. He refused to give it to me. So we drove to Vero Beach to have a look at this property. When we drove down 20th Street, we got to the corner there, and there was that church on the corner down at 20th Street near where our old church was. I think it's 20th Court or 20th Lane and 20th Street, and there's a church there. I thought, this is it. This looks great. And it wasn't that, obviously. So we went further down, and there was an old building there, and it was a storefront, and there was nothing that looked anything remotely like a church. It looked like a storefront. So we walked in, and when I walked through the doors, I looked inside, and there was a stage. and there was a sanctuary, and there was a sound booth at the back. And I went through the door and there was children's rooms, and I opened the other door and there was bathrooms and a beautiful lobby, and everything was done. It was awesome. And I walked back in the church and I thought, well, actually what happened was before that, I said to him, how much is it? And I thought, this is never going to happen. Because we had nobody. We had nobody. We were a small group. And I walked into the main sanctuary. I'll never forget it. And as I walked into the sanctuary, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you remember what he told you? That everything will be prepared. Everything will be done. And now let me say something to you. I told you all of that to tell you this. How did it start? It started one morning while I was praying in the Spirit, and God showed me a mystery. He showed me a secret about my life that he wanted me to know, but I had to make sure I was in a place where I was able to hear what he was saying. Are you with me, guys? The language of the Spirit is a supernatural language. Visions and dreams and prophecy, it's supernatural. And the only way that you can hear what he has to say is you have to put yourself in a posture where you are able to hear him. Whether it be praying in tongues, whether it be worship, you have to get yourself in a place where you are able to hear what he has to say. But I can tell you right now that the Holy Spirit comes upon you to give you the gifts, to equip you, to empower you, to do the work of the ministry. But you need to know what the plan is. And I know for certain, without a shadow of a doubt, that one of the ways that we find that out is by praying in tongues. It's not bad. It's not evil. It's wonderful. I'm speaking to God, not to men. No one understands it. But however, I'm speaking mysteries. I'm speaking the secrets of God. In a church service, it doesn't make sense to speak in tongues unless someone interprets, because if no one interprets, the church doesn't benefit from it. Is he doing anything evil if he does it? No, he just missed it. It was for him. And so that's what Paul was saying to the church. Get yourself in order, guys. If you're going to use the gifts, make sure that there's edification. Otherwise, the uninformed will come in and say you are out of your mind. You need to come to the e-course. Now, don't be mad at me. This is all in the Bible. But God wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants to use you, and he wants to talk to you. Now, again, I need to over-iterate. This is not the exclusive way to hear from God, but most certainly it is one way that many Christians do not tap into because they are scared. They're afraid. They've been taught wrong. There is no question. No question. Man, if I had the time, I would go through the whole of 14 for you. You would understand. Those that came to the e-course yesterday, you know what I'm talking about. But you see, what happened yesterday was while I was praying for an individual, it's like the Holy Spirit showed me that he didn't understand why should I pray in tongues. You see, and many Christians have always felt like that. What's it for? Why should I pray in this language? Well, today you found out why. God wants to speak to you, and one of the ways that he does that is by speaking to you in the language of what the Spirit will, how he speaks. Visions, dreams, the prophetic. He opens your eyes. You see, eyes not seen, ears not heard. But he wants to speak to you. And this is definitely one of the ways. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to say something. If you don't understand all of this, if this kind of like is new to you and you have questions, I want you to message the church, because we want to give you as much information as we can. Because God is so wonderful. But so many Christians miss out because they don't know. They don't know. They don't understand. They don't understand, what's it for? Praying in tongues is weird, you know. And I get it. I honestly do. Let me tell you something. I have absolutely no doubt that this is why God sent me here. One of the main reasons was to bridge a gap between those that have not encountered the things of the Spirit. Because they're afraid. Because of what they've heard, what they've been taught, what they've seen, chaos, craziness, all that stuff. By many Christians that mean well, they don't mean bad. And then there are the others that completely preach against it. How can you? Did you know that Paul makes another statement in Corinthians 14? This is what he says. He says, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. Oh, and by the way, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Oh, and by the way, how do you think he got all that revelation? How do you think all those mysteries were revealed to him? You see, while he was correcting, he was making sure that he over-iterated the importance of not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But what do? You see, when Stephen was being stoned, he said something. He said, you are just like your forefathers. You always reject the Holy Spirit. And then they killed him. And that's what we do. We kill the things of the Spirit. Because it's something we don't understand. You can't understand it. But what you can do is find out if God says it's for you or not. If it isn't, get rid of it. If it is, embrace it. Because you must always embrace the fullness of what God has for you. He wants to use you as much as possible so that you can fulfill His plan and your plan.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.